Good morning. This is Gaming Perspectives with
Saul
and Jolene. And today we're going to talk about a topic that Saul saw on Twitter, which is a rare event. The moons and the sun must have collided because he never goes on to Twitter, even though he has a Twitter account.
Yeah, my Twitter feed is like totally vacant. Anyway, so I wasn't even on Twitter. I don't ever go on Twitter. But something was said on Twitter that has invaded my Facebook and other areas that I inhabit in the cyberspace. And that was Mike Merrill's comment about how Railroad games have gotten a bad rap.
Who is Mike Merrill's?
Mike Merrill's he's like in charge of D&D, right? He's like the guy who runs D&D department for Hasbro. So he basically is the head of D&D.
I didn't know there was a head of D&D, but okay.
He's in charge of Dungeons & Dragons, a line of whatever, you know, books, paraphernalia, whatever you want to call it.
Then I say thank you to him for it.
Making the fifth edition, yes. So he's obviously very prominent, very, you know, has a lot of power with D&D, Dungeons & Dragons. And he says this statement about railroads.
I'm sure that people were very upset about that because a lot of people have an idea that a railroad game is a bad thing.
Well, you know, gamers being gamers, they have strong opinions about a lot of things and all things geek. So I was kind of in that same boat. I was taken back. I go, what the heck is this guy talking about? You know, because railroads have come and kind of fallen out of fashion, right? You know, who wants to play in that game where literally, you know, a classic railroad is a dungeon, right? But there's other games that have no idea.
But people like dungeon crawl. Some people want to do a dungeon crawl.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So that's a railroady game, a linear game. You go into the dungeon, you clear out all the rooms, gather all the gold. And I know lots of men and teenage boys and even women who think that that's cool. You get to kill the monsters and get the gold.
Yeah, I guess if there's holdouts from 1980s. But anyway, I'm not going to insult people who love dungeon crawls and stuff like that. It's like I did it for a lot of years when I was a kid. And, you know, it's just doesn't have as much, you know, it's not as fun for me as it used to be.
But it is fun for other people. You have to admit that some people really like that. I don't particularly like it because I don't like dungeons, one. And I don't like the whole, you have to clear out each room. I feel like a cop going through trying to kill the monster. And then I have the people in my party going, what is in here? Can I find the gold? I've never been really into that because I'm not so much into the getting the treasure thing. But that is a big part for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. Everybody have their fun there. As long as they're having fun, they're away. But really, railroads have kind of fallen out of favor. Dungeons have fallen out of favor for a lot of people.
So there's a difference between a linear game versus a railroad game, right?
When I first discussed this with Jolene, I said linear, and she was like,
aren't all games linear?
Yes. And so I'm like, okay. But railroad games definitely have this rap of being not good among certain circles of RPG players, is what I'm saying. And those circles, I hate to say it, they're kind of snooty. You know, oh, that's the way we used to play. That's how the old grognards used to play. That's the old men in suspenders and glasses, you know, overweight, long hair.
Hey, I've met a bunch of those people, and they're really nice, and they know a lot of things.
But, you know, it's like the people who play, you know, in independent games, they really get into, they're more into the role-playing aspect other than this murder hobo, this negative term called murder hoboing, which was just going somewhere, killing monsters and taking their stuff, you know. And all these jokes come from that kind of mentality. Is like, you know, why are you talking to my experience? You know, that's another joke that comes out of people who don't think that's a good way to play, or at least that's not good for them. And I understand that, you know, people want to explore a little bit more of a role-playing aspect of role-playing games. You know, that's cool.
So there's two different kinds of GMs. There's GMs who do railroading. There's four different kinds of GMs, but there's for a linear game, there's a couple different kinds. There's a railroad game to me is when your GM has you on a path. And if you don't meet this guy, like say he wants you to go to a certain tavern. And if you don't go to that tavern, you're not going to get the information. So he makes it really hard. Like you go down the another street, or we have examples, but Saul doesn't want to use them of games where people ran them and caused the players great consternation because you couldn't figure out what it was that the GM wanted you to do.
Right.
I consider that railroading. I think a GM should be able to get you to where he wants you to be without making you feel as if you have to hit certain landmarks.
Right. And so, but it goes beyond just staying on this road, right? That a lot of times something has to be done, whether it's a puzzle or it's a project or something has to. And if the characters or the players can't come up with the solution to this, whatever this problem is, they're not going to be able to advance in the game. That is what I'm talking about. A railroad is like when a GM sets up the story and you have to follow along in this story that they've built up in their head or written down, and you got to solve the puzzle or solve the problem a certain way to be able to continue. That is a classic railroad.
Yes. And I think that that's wrong. That's a bad GM, in my opinion.
Horrible fun.
Because if your players aren't having fun and if you aren't on your feet enough to let them come up with ideas to figure out the mystery, especially if it's a mystery or you're having to solve a crime or whatever it is, if you make them have to talk to so-and-so or they have to go to this tree or they have to open a box and you don't give them different ideas, let them come up with ideas to do it. If it's not your idea, it doesn't matter. Just let them do it.
Right. You know, and this is classic stuff that I've talked about before. And I read in the Spirit of the Century, correct? And it was mind blowing for me because it really does, and what I'm gonna say is that if you're the line is from the book, I'm paraphrasing, that if the players are constantly ruining your game by not doing what you expect them to do, by having different ideas on how to solve the problems that you put before them, and the game stalls because they are not listening and they're ruining your game, you need to close that game book. You need to go to a computer or a typewriter and start writing a book, because that's what you should be doing and not running not GMing a game. So when I read that, it was freaking mind-blowing, you know. And I never really ran that way, but, you know,
But you could see that you had been in games like that.
I had been in games and that, and there's been, every once in a while there's a tendency for me to do something like that. Like, well, I had this great idea. This is the way it should go. And what would happen was I would be stuck with trying to piece together or try to get these players to go to where I wanted them to be. And they, you know, and it's like, it's what is the best plans in war go out the window as soon as the war starts, right? Because your players are never going to do something that you expect them to do because they're not you, right? You cannot account for their way of thinking because you're not them. You know, they might have some weird idea, and one of them might have this weird idea and convince the whole group to go a completely weird direction that nobody thought of. You know, else thought of, and they're like, yeah, that sounds great. And you're there as a GM, you know, trying to run this really, you know, tight railroad type game, and you're at a loss because, you know, how can you get them back in the dungeon sort of thing?
Like I say, it's a GM problem. It's not a player problem, because you should be able to have your encounters when you make up your game. You should be able to have the different encounters you want them to do, and say they want to go left instead of right, then move your encounter. Okay. A lot of people tell me, and Saul tells me that people don't understand that, or people don't want to do that, but they want them to get to a certain place and do a certain thing. But I've been in games where people come up with ideas that the GM is like, you can see it on their face. I didn't think of that, but that's a great idea. Let's go with that.
Well, those are good GMs, right? And so anyway, so getting back to the railroad and to the comment.
Con games are railroad-y. Sometimes railroady because you have time constraints.
Well, I believe they have to be, to a certain extent, railroady. But I guess it's how wide the tracks are, right?
That's your idea.
That's my idea, you know, because you got a small track railroad is no fun for anybody, no matter what kind of situation.
But if you let the railroad go off to the left or right or spin around in a circle, then it may be a lot of fun.
Curve around a big mountain, then, you know, but that railroad is guided by the players and not me, you know. So
I call it linear and not railroad. Right. Railroad is when the GM makes you do something.
Right.
And if you can't figure out what it is you're supposed to do, then nobody's going to have fun.
Right. And I think that's one of the key differences between a railroad and linear game. But, you know, I don't know what Mike Merles was really, his definition of railroad is. I mean, his definition might be something that I would call linear, right?
Yes.
Right. So
what is the opposite
of linear? Well, then he goes on in that same quote saying that he's been in games where basically it was totally open-ended and it was ended in chaos or something like that. And I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've ever played in a game that was that open-ended, that the players could do anything. There was like no plan. There was no, you know,
it was open-ended. Usually there's something that you're, if it's a game, unless the, I can't imagine a GM going, okay, so what are you going to do today? He doesn't give you any idea of what the goal is. Yeah, well, even if there's not a goal, we're going to go out and hunt. Okay. So I don't know. I've never been in a game like that. There's always been a mystery to solve, a wagon train to get somewhere.
A quest to do, right?
A quest.
You're asked to do something. So I think I hate to relate this to a video game. But
he will.
But I will. So a railroad, you know. So a lot of video role playing video games, you know, whether it's online or old style, like what is it? You know, I forget the name of those games, but like Icewind Dale and those kind of games, Baldur's Gate. You know, you were a character and you would get missions, right? And you would solve these missions and you get these puzzles. And I remember playing a couple times, and I would get stuck and I couldn't go forward. And I'm like, okay, this totally sucks. And that's totally railroad, you know, because you could go anywhere in the world and do things, but ultimately, you know,
unless you found the puzzle box,
right, or did whatever was needed to be done, you couldn't advance the game. And then I came across this game called a Mountain Blade, right, and it basically starts you off that with nothing. You're just out in the, you
know, you're a squire or something.
No,
right?
Nothing. You're not even that. You're just a man out in the wilderness, in maybe near a town or a village. And what you do is you slowly, and you have a little bit of stuff, you acquire more stuff, and there's no goal. I mean, other than living, right? Other than going out. And so you can recruit people. It lets you recruit people. It lets you get more stuff, and you go up in levels and stuff like that. But there's no goal. There's no goal involved. There's all these kingdoms around. And so you just go around, get a posse together or get a band, and then you become I don't know what you call it.
An
like
itinerant king?
No, you're not even a king, right? You're just you're basically like a bandit, you know, because you go from one place to another.
A mercenary.
And you could slay people in a village and take their stuff, or you could buy stuff from the village and trade with another village. I mean, it all depended on what kind of game you wanted to play. I mean, it was completely open-ended, right? And I loved that game, and my son loved that game. A lot of my friends played that game, and then when I started reading the reviews, people hated it. And they hated it because there was no goal. They go, what is there to do in this game?
I think that has to do with the fact that if you open up the playing time you tell people, what are you going to do? There's a decision paralysis. People don't know which way to go, what to do. So I think it's better off if you give them, right? Give them a couple choices or four or five choices. That might be too many because some people can't make that decision. And maybe some people in the party disagree about what they want to do and things like that. But I think that causes decision paralysis, right? Nobody knows what exactly they need to do.
Well, I mean, I think what Mike Merles and other people have said is that in a completely open-ended game, the GM just sits there and has to come out of stuff, you know, out of his butt, right? He pulls it out of the ether or whatever you want to call it, because if the player see the and this is in this instance, I think that players have to run the game, right? They're the ones that have to initiate everything. Well, is there any you know, local legends of anything or whatever?
I wouldn't like that.
And so the GM has to be able to work with that kind of what do you call it, input, right? And react.
That means they have to be on the top of their toes and
really
ready, have all these ideas ready to go at a moment's notice, or just come up with them.
Or be able to come up with them on a fly, and that's spontaneous, you know, response to these to this input of these players. Giving them stuff. And so I was, you know, I'm like, you know, a lot of players can't do that. I mean, a lot of GMs, a lot of people, yeah, that'd be very difficult to do.
Not only that, but that would involve a lot of time looking up things that you want to do next, because you would have to come up with an idea on the spot. So I don't know that would be being prepared.
Well, how can you prepare for something like that, right? There's no preparedness. And you have to just do it on the fly, right?
So that'd be downtime at the table?
Well, no, I think those kind of games, and people who want to play those kind of games, they're probably not that interested in combat. They're probably more interested in intrigue. They're probably more interested in puzzles or solving crimes or along those lines, right?
Well, you would have to know who killed the person, right?
Well, you could come up in your head. You immediately have to come up with something that, you know, you're basically using the player.
You're playing off the players.
Yes. exactly. Which is, I can only imagine how difficult that would be, and how easily that could end in total
chaos
and crap. Really, I mean,
how would you know if people are having fun or not? I don't know.
Well, you can tell if people are having fun if they're really interested in and playing those games. You know, and are, you know, if they're actively, you know.
What if somebody had a bad thing happen that week in their life and they decided that the GM says, what are you going to do? And in the fantasy world, I'm going to, I don't know, go kill a bunch of people because I'm not happy today.
Well, so I don't know. I totally lost where we were going on this one. So, you know, so what do you do? I mean, I kind of disagree with Mike Morales that this open-endedness is total chaotic, because I think I like a little bit open-endedness
when I play.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I don't know what percentage, but I don't like being dictated what the game is going to be like, right? I like the semblance, or at least I like to conceive that my character has free thought and can do anything he wants. Of course, I also understand that's very difficult for GMs to run a game like that. So when a GM gives me a quest, my character a quest, I will usually follow along and say, oh, this is what you want us to do. I understand. Let's go.
Every once in a while, there are players that come along when a GM gives you a quest and tells you need to go somewhere to find something that will tell you, no, I want to go this way. And that could be a wrench thrower. The one that doesn't want to do what the GM wants, doesn't want to be railroaded in any way, which is fine, but that makes the game a lot harder to play.
Right. Well, it's a lot harder to run. But again... If those people have a strong personality, and have a lot of weight in their gaming group,
their charisma.
Power of personality. You know, maybe they're just real jerks, and they go, "Well, no, I really believe we should go this way," but the GM says that the quest is this way here. Well, I don't care. I want to go over here because I find this more interesting. And if they're strong enough personality, they can convince the whole group to go that way. And then the GM, if they're really not really prepared and don't like to be, you know, caught off guard, you know,
it's going to have a problem.
It's going to have a problem. So I'm kind of stuck here with what he says here, this Mike Merrill's guy.
I don't think you're really stuck, because if you talk about your Tecmo game, you literally, it's a game where you're on a road. So it can't be more railroading than being on a road. And all your players have fun when they play that game every time you've run it, because you say you're taking this person from here to here. That's your mission. And then after that, you just let them do whatever they want.
Right. And what's weird about that game is I ran the same, which is weird, because I didn't used to do this. I used to just run one game at a con and move on to the next adventure, blah, blah, blah. But so many people wanted to play in that adventure that I kind of had to run it like three times. And it was really weird about that game is I found it more... In this game, and I go, man, it's really fun to run the same game with different people. Different people, you get a totally different game, and then by the second time I ran it, I was like, wow, that was a totally different game, and I was actually entertained by the fact that, okay, the first group, they did kind of what I thought they would do, you know, more or less, you know, get from point A to point B. There's a lot of intrigue and a lot of stuff like that, and so they were really involved in that intrigue, and it was all, you know, player versus player conflict and all this other stuff. But they finished their mission and everybody was happy. The second game, these people were like, we need to get it from point A to point B. We don't care. We're just going to go. So all this weird stuff is happening. The characters didn't care, or the players didn't care. And they just kept moving forward, right? You know, they're basically on this like three-tiered Great Wall of China kind of thing. And all kinds of weird stuff is happening. And to them, it's like, okay, that's weird. But we don't care. We're gonna keep moving.
We have a mission.
We got a mission to get here to there. And so they got a little bit of combat. They got because they had to save themselves. You know, they ran into some guards that were like bandits or whatever. And they're like, okay.
And they were in the way of their mission.
It was like okay, sure. We ran into some people who shouldn't be wearing the official soldier uniform. Blah blah blah. They're bandits. Fine. Okay, we don't care. We keep going. So that was a real strange game for me, because I was like, man, these guys are really task oriented. They don't care about the intrigue. They just want to get to point A to point B. And it proved to be a little bit shorter game, because like my games usually run about 6 hours. That one ran about 5 hours. And I'm like, wow, you guys just like,
because they just ignored
it. Tore through. Yeah, I don't know about ignore it. They just didn't care. So then the third game, the third group of people, they were ultra paranoid, right? They go, this is not just some simple mission. This has got to be something going on, right? So, like, everything was a conspiracy theory, which in the world of Tech ML, everything is a conspiracy theory because there's all this, you know, intrigue. Somebody wants to kill this person and kill that. It's all about rank and honor and being higher, society, higher in society, and all this other stuff. And they really took to that with, you know, like, ducks to water, right? So I'm like, okay. So, like, they didn't want to get on the road. I'm like, well, I mean, it's the safest thing to do. This is a really dangerous world. That's why they have these roads. That's why they built them, you know, thousands of years ago. No, we don't want to go on the road. Okay. So they were on, had to be on the road for a little while. And then they cross the river and goes, well, can we take the river? The river's not seen as very safe. Well, we don't want to be on the road. So they go through this big rigmarole of getting the, you know, passage on a river, pretending they're not who they pretended they are, and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you guys are just like, and then does anybody know? And then they were always asking, does anybody know who we are? I'm like, well, how do you know? How will we notice who you are? And then, so purposely, I had people like look at them twice or something weird like that. You know, we got to get off this boat. You know, so they all get off the boat to another boat. I mean, it was just this crazy situation. And I was totally entertained that whole time. And because they were, like, really, like, they kept moving transportation from boat to different boat. They got off the boat and tried to do overland. They got really in trouble with all kinds of monsters. They got on back on the Great Wall
Road
and stuff like that. And it was just hilarious. And it was, like, it was because they're so paranoid. And then, you know, there was a little bit of, like, they were a little suspicious of each other because, you know, I had written stuff into their background, the character's background, and they had read it, and they're like, oh, yeah, okay. So they had a little bit of information about each other a little bit, but for the most part, you know, they didn't stab each other in the back or try to poison each other or anything like that. So it was very entertaining for me to see those three games, exact same thing. I didn't change a single thing, and it was totally different responses by the players.
But that's only because you, even though it was a very railroady game, because it was literally on a road, and you were going from point A to point B, you allowed the players to have encounters or not have encounters. You gave them extra monsters when they didn't want to be on the road, or you just moved your monsters over to where they were.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, some of the monsters I did change, what I do is I usually have, like, when I run a game, I usually have things that they can run into and things that they may run into if they stay on this path that I had. And if they got off this path, I had a bunch of different kind of monsters available, and so I had to dig through those or come, you know, I had them though. I was ready for them, but because I go, just in case they want to get off the road, which I didn't think they would, but they did, and so luckily I was prepared for that. But it is funny. It is funny how it's a railroad, but it's kind of like a weird open ended railroad.
It's linear.
Yes, linear. Yes. So was Mike Merles right? I mean, Then I started thinking, are all games railroady? Or all games an aspect of railroadiness? Surely early modules from D&D were railroady. I mean, they literally were dungeons, right? They were just dungeons. I mean, I remember one of the modules against the giants called Against the Hill Giants, and it was a module. I mean, it was a module. It was a module, of course, but it was a dungeon. You go into this into their steading or where they live, and you go room to room and kill everybody, you know, and take their stuff. So, okay, modules for a certain extent are probably railroady, right?
Campaigns.
Is a campaign railroady? Like I'm running Storm King's Thunder. There's a beginning. And, you know, and then there, although I actually use my own beginning, but to get them into that world or into that campaign. But there's obviously something going on and there's going to be an end, and the characters have to more or less get to that end. Now, like I said before, I really like Storm King's Thunder because it's for a module or for a campaign book. It's very open-ended, right? You know, they could go anywhere in the Sword Coast or in, you know, Forgotten Realms in that western part of the world, and basically it's a gazetteer. This book, there's all kinds of cities listed. It tells you about the city. It tells you a little bit of intrigue about what's going on in the city, and the characters can get involved in that. You know, and they have, right. My characters have gone to different towns. You know, they try to get a bounty off this a bounty that was on this dwarf's head, and they did all kinds of crazy things. They got involved in protecting towns and attacking giants and attacking different creatures and getting information. And it's kind of been this, like, you know, helter skelter. They get a clue, and sometimes they act on that clue, and sometimes they don't, and so they can do almost anything. So now, as a game toward the end, now it's a little bit more railroady because there's definitely a way, there's definitely a way that this game is gonna end, and they either save the king, the Storm King, or they don't. I mean, I don't know what's gonna happen. But it's kind of, is that a railroad? Is that railroady? I don't know. But isn't everything a railroad? I mean, if you had come up with if you come up with an idea for a game, and it could be any game, like I came up with this idea for Dresden Files, and it was this basically it's a ghost story, right? The ghost c have been coming back and killing people, and so it was a kind of investigative story, and the players are investigating, and but that's all I did. All I did was come up with the beginning, and I go, well, this is what they have to do to end it. And at one point, it was really weird because I was running this at a con, and everybody, they had all the clues. I couldn't come up with anything else to give them, and they're literally like, oh my God, and they're like right there, right there. They almost have it. And they're all talking at, and they're almost yelling at each other, right? Because it's chaotic, because they're kind of figured it out. And then boom, one of them just blurts out the exactly what it was. And then they all stop and they look at each other and they're like, holy crap, you're totally right, right? That's not what they said, but they're all adults. And so they're like, and I'm like, oh my God, thank God. Because it was like, what's gonna, I don't want the game to stop. But I mean, I couldn't think of any more clues to give them. And it was just, I had given them enough clues, but they just had to put the, get the right synapses firing and get that clue and it coming to their head. And it did. And it was amazing.
That's why mysteries are hard to solve.
And that's why mysteries are hard to run, I think, because you never know if your clues are going to be enough.
Is the killer going to get away because you couldn't figure it out?
Is the ghost going to get revenge on everybody in that person's family line, right? I don't know. We've been talking about it for 27 minutes about this linear railroading game. So is Mike Murrow's right? Has railroad gotten a bad rap from certain GM or RPG circles? And I think it all depends on what your definition of railroad is. If it's just a linear game, then almost any game that you run is gonna have a railroady aspect of it, because you have an idea of the beginning and you might have an idea at the end, and some railroads are gonna have tracks as wide
The world.
As the world, and the other ones are as really tight, right? And the real tight ones are the ones you don't want to play in.
The
And I
thing
was really
is
fun.
that it's all up to the GM. If the GM forces you as the player
Yes.
to figure out what he wants you to do, I consider that a railroad game. If the players at the table can't figure out what he wants to do, then something's not going to happen, or something's gonna bad is going to happen because you can't get to his idea. Whereas it's just a linear game if the GM allows you to get from point A to point B, and in between you meander along or you go straight down the road. It's all how the GM allows the players to play it.
I think you hit it right, hit the right the head on the nail, or the hammer. I don't know. It's very early in the morning, so we record really early in the morning because it's the quietest time we could have to record. But I think she is totally correct. When the GM forces the players to come up with a certain solution, that is a railroad, and that is the railroad that nobody wants to play in, at least that I can.
Whereas most people want to play in a linear game with a beginning and an end.
Well,
Or
they like
even
to
if
have.
it's open, they have more adventures or.
I think they like to have the idea that there's an idea there behind. There's a idea behind the GM that he wants to tell a story, or he wants to tell a story, sort of. But the characters or the players are the ones that are providing the story, right? He has a spark of the idea, and the players are actually fulfilling the story, right? They're the ones that are.
They're going on the quest
They're going on the
and.
quest, or doing or solving the mystery, and they're the ones that are filling. It's like what is it? Like an outline, right? And the players are filling in the story, and
As they go.
it is cooperative storytelling in that sense, right? When the G because if the GM already knows everything's going to happen in the game, god damn, that's freaking boring. I can't imagine playing the game that way. But when I have the most fun is when players come up with ideas that I never thought of, and I'm like, man, that's absolutely fantastic. And I'm laughing with them, and I'm having a good time, and I'm excited with them because I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know what's going to go, or how it's going to end, because I'm letting the players go with it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think that is where fun of role playing is when players and GMs are together and are making a story that they both, everybody involved doesn't know how it's going to end. And that's why we have dice, right? To add that dramatic, oh my God, is
Legolas. Can you get enough pluses or minuses? Legolas'
twin, played by my friend Sip, you know, on that lonely hill, as whole party goes down. Is he going to die? And is the whole party going to get, well, maybe they wouldn't die. Maybe the orcs would have taken him prisoner. But is it going to be the total party kill that they envisioned? Or is he going to be the hero? And it all came down to the dice, right? Other games like that, you know, or other games are not like that. They're simply because they solved the case, they're able to do what they needed to do to end the ghost from killing innocent people. Bam, you know that, and they came up with it, you know, in a circular way that, or a weird way that I hadn't thought of, you know, and that's where I mind it. When the GM's entertained, and the players are entertained and having fun, I think that's the best aspects of role playing.
So if somebody wants to do an open-ending game that may not end in chaos, like if they want the players to run it, that just means that the GM has to be on his toes and have, I would think that they would have to have ideas so that if the players decide to do something, they would come up with they wouldn't have to come up with the idea on the spot, but they'd have all these different ideas and they could put that out as, so you want to do this? Okay. And in their head, they have an idea of what would happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I've never played an open-ended game. I've never run an open-ended game like that. Like I said, we talked about it before. I think you would have to be
on top of things.
On top of things, and the players would really have to drive. They would really have to explicitly state what they want from their game, right? We want to investigate any old ruins nearby. So the GM, you know, instinctively goes, okay, they want us to, you know, explore old ruins. So I come up, they on the spot, they come up with this idea of why these old ruins are there, what's in there, you know, and what's there and what they can find. And so there you go. I mean, it has to be that quick, and it's tough. I think that's a tough way to play. That's a lot of weight to put on the GM. I think it could be really fascinating, but I think it could also go horribly wrong, right? Like Mike Merle said. So look up that quote and see if you agree or don't agree. I think Mike Merle is probably right, but then again, it all depends on definitions, right? The definition of what a railroad is. I think linear, almost any game out there is going to be linear simply because there's a beginning and end, and the GM has to have that kind of idea behind it.
So it's all about definitions.
Definition, yeah. And I think, yeah, you know, I think he's right, but then again, you know, who knows? It all depends on his definition. Our definition is a railroady game. A real tight railroader game is not fun, but almost
a linear game.
Which is sort of like a railroad game. They can be fantastic. They can be a lot of fun. And they can be almost open-ended in a certain ways and still be a great way to play. So this has been Gaming Perspectives with Saul.
And Jolene.
And you have a good day.